Praise God. Praise God. Stand for the reading of the word of the Lord, if you will. Honor to God's word. Let's turn to the book of Mark. The book of Mark. See what the Lord would have for us this morning out of the book of Mark. Mark, the sixth chapter. Mark, the sixth chapter. Reading in Mark, the sixth chapter, and starting in the 29th verse. This is right after one of their great leaders had just been killed. John the Baptist had just been beheaded, and so some unusual things were going on. And when his disciples heard of it, they came and took up his corpse and laid him in a tomb. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and out went them, and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out and saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when the day was far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about, and into the village, and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. He answered and said unto them, Give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, Shall we go and buy 200 pennyworth of bread and give them to eat? He saith unto them, How many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. Everybody say, and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fishes. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. I'd like to minister this morning upon this thought of when the exhausted meets the inexhaustible. When the exhausted meets the inexhaustible. The day was tired. The world was tired. The people were tired. The disciples were tired. But Jesus was ready. And I'm going to tell you something. Be glad that you went ahead and got your weary body up out of that bed and got dressed under all circumstances, and said, I will go to the house of God. Because I'm telling you, the day is far spent, and time is passing, and it's a desert place. But I feel a fountain of living water flowing up. Church, if you don't know it yet, God is in this place. Why don't you just take a deep breath in your soul and say, oh God, let your love flow over my heart and renew me and refresh me and refill me and let me know that you never run out of love and glory. Woo! Give me the green grass in the desert place. Hallelujah. And something from the hands of the living God. My God, church God's in this place. Woo! I want you to lift your hands right now and let's pray. Come on, Brother Kraft. Oh, God.
Lord, thank you for the presence of the Lord that is in this place. God, let us not limit you here this morning. God, no matter how we feel, no matter how we feel in our body, God, let us bring our minds together right now upon the remainder of this service for their lives and destinies that lay in the balance in the remainder of these few minutes this morning, God. Let us not limit you, God, for you are only limited in our minds, God. But you are all powerful. You are able, God, to set free this morning. You are able, God, to deliver this morning. God, you are able to lift up, to encourage, to set free. Let us not stop you, God, but let us flow in the moving of the Holy Ghost right now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Oh, come on, church, let's worship God. Let's not limit the Lord here this morning. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Reach over and lay your hand on a neighbor's shoulder, sister with a sister, brother with a brother, and say, oh God, meet every need, meet every need, meet every need. Meet every need, oh God. Just lay your hand on the shoulder and just pray that prayer, that's all. Just meet their need, oh God. Meet their need, God. Go ahead, pray. Go ahead, do that in Jesus' name. Meet their need, oh God. You don't know how much God really does love you. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Please, no going in and out unless you have to. Just let me talk or preach or just whatever this morning. I just want God to have His will today. Amen. First of all, they received the shocking news. Now, folks, this is while they're on their way in. A lot of you may not be acquainted with the context of the Scripture, but the apostles had just been sent out with the 70. The Lord had ordained them. They were doing great and mighty things. And the blind eyes had been opened. People had been healed. And let me express this to you. In the spirit, when you are trying to do the will of God, it will exhaust the flesh. Just believe me. And there are those that are sitting here right now, the more you've tried to work for God, the tireder you are in your body. And when you get tired in your body and in your mind, that is an exhaustion that cannot even begin to be explained. It's such a wearisome thing. And while they're coming in, the news has just come that great, great preacher, John the Baptist, has just been killed tragically, murdered, assassinated, executed in the hall of Herod. And all of this is going on, and the words are going out, and the feeling of insecurity. They knew what John had done and how he lived for God, and now he ended up with his head on a bloody platter. Folks, let me tell you something. It was one blow right after another that were hitting God's disciples right on the chin. And they were shaking and they were trembling and they were wondering, what's going to be the end of all of this? And as they came under the Lord, oh, let me tell you something. When you feel like God doesn't understand, you just don't understand God. When you feel like God doesn't know about it, then you just really don't know God. I'm here to tell you, there's nothing that goes on that God is not interested in, understands. It's us who gives up. God doesn't ever give up on us. I said the Lord doesn't ever give up on us. He's mindful of what we're going through, no matter what the devil tells you. Amen. And so John had just lost his head and then given up his very life and martyrdom. And here comes the disciples. They're excited spiritually, but they're weary in their body. And the Lord sees this. He knows what's going on. And he tells them, let's come apart. I want you to come with me. And this is what he says, that you may rest. Not test, but rest. I want you to come with me. I'm going to take you to a private place. And we're going to get away from what's been going on. And just you and I are going to be together. And so the Lord has told them this. And they began to walk. And I imagine in their mind is these beautiful words of rest. And we're going to be with the Lord privately for a little while. And oh, we're about to be refreshed. I imagine with this still hanging heavy upon them, where they're about to lay off the cloak of their burdens and their worries and their troubles. And they see Jesus as he begins to lead them down that beautiful meadow path. And then in their mind, I imagine they can think, I wonder by what placid lake is he going to take us to? Maybe to some mountain retreat where there's a babbling brook. And oh, where is he going to? And he begins to take them out in the midst of the desert. If I want to rest, friend, leave me beside a mountain stream, not to some hot burning sands. You tell me you're going to let me go and refresh. Don't take me where the cacti are and where the sun's beating down. That's contrary one to another. That's a paradox. But let me tell you something, friend. God knows how to bring the refreshing. Amen. And it doesn't come the way you worked it out. And it doesn't come the way you think it ought to come, but it's going to come. Joy will come in the morning. I don't know where that morning's going to find you and what kind of a trial, but when he says, I'm going to lead you away for a rest, it will come. Praise God. Praise God. Now, nobody questioned it. But the deeper they go into that desert, I can see those disciples in their mind begin to question. The Lord has made a mistake. Matter of fact, my feet are burning right now. And my head's gotten a whole lot hotter than where we started this thing from. He could have at least left us where we were. And it was a whole lot better to find some rest there. But the Lord knew what he was doing. Deeper into the heart of the desert, he was taking them to let them learn where the refreshing really comes from. It's not geographical location or relocation. It doesn't come in some beautiful Colorado scene. It's not the Alps of Switzerland. That's not where the rest and refreshing comes from. Amen. You don't drink from the well of some babbling brook. It comes from that fountain of life called Jesus Christ. And some of you are not hearing me today, but God's trying to teach you where the rest and the refreshing really is. Let me tell you something. They were a whole lot more exhausted at the end of the day and the end of the journey than they were in the beginning. When he tells them, I'm going to take you to a place to refresh you, they end up a whole lot more tired than when they started it. And that's when a lot of people bail out on God. They bail out on him. They drop out along the way. If he thinks I'm going any further into this desert, he's crazy. I'm going back. And so they turn around and they never finish the journey. But God understands that people never do appreciate until they are so given out and so exhausted that they're willing to stop wherever He's ready to stop. And this is what the Bible says. The day was far spent. The day was weary. I don't know if you think much about nature. Maybe you got too much problems with clocking in to even think about what goes on as you race toward work. Maybe it's too dark in the morning while you're just trying to even keep body and soul together. But I'm going to tell you something. This world is far spent. It's a tired world. It's a weary world. It's a world that is so exhausted. It's tired of war. It's tired of pollution. But when I read that's what's coming, there's not going to be any more oceans. There's going to be a verdant, beautiful garden. God's going to restore everything environmentally in our earth. And maybe you've never thought of this before, but I have. There's going to be atomic warfare in the last days, so that means there's going to be radiation in many cities. And there's going to be destruction. So what my God's going to do is just remove the oceans and bring up that beautiful ocean bed. And He's going to lift it up. And men are going to inhabit. Because in those oceans are soil and minerals that'll feed the whole world. But it's hidden under the roaring seas of our life. I've already thought this out. While the world is going to be radiated with war, when Jesus steps on this earth, He's going to cleanse and He's going to bring up the ocean beds. Because the Bible said there'll be no more seas. And what's been laying dormant under the stormy waves of our life, God's going to use it to bring something beautiful. Now, let me typology that in your life. There's things that are hidden under you where there's nothing but roaring waves. But when God gets through with that part in your life where destruction is wreaked havoc, He's going to lift up something else. And there's going to be minerals and life and source. And the things that hurt you so bad. And the things that raged in your life and were hidden to you. God's going to bring it up. God's going to let you inhabit that. Because He has a way, friend, of making the desert give forth life and victory to your soul. If you can take the journey. And so the Bible said that the day was exhausted, they were exhausted, and the people were exhausted. And so the Lord, with that great poignant question, pointed directly at their soul. He said, they're hungry, you give them something. A lot of people, when God asks them certain things, only get mad and frustrated. You're wise that when God starts probing you to be real still and say the Master is after something. Let me not mouth and let me not be aggravated against Him. But He's after something. What is He wanting? Those disciples in their frustration had already forgot what had happened just recently. If He can give you power to open blind eyes and to make the lame to walk and to cast out devils, what's this to feed 5,000 men, not including women and children? But I'm going to tell you something. The journey has a way of separating you from things that God's done in your life. And they looked at Him and said, what shall we do it with? He said, you sent us out on the journey without coat or script or money or sword. This is the way you told us to go do your work. And so they began to look in their pockets and they don't have much even of anything to even go buy. And said, we're in a desert place. Said, we're here in the middle of the sand. You brought us here. No, they didn't really probably say it with a cutting word, but in their spirit they were saying it. You're the one who put us in this condition, and now you're telling us to do something. Very funny. You know, I'm going to tell you this. We don't say that outwardly, But you do it and I do it too. God, are you trying to make a fool out of me? Is this the circus? And am I the main attraction? What's going on? But then we open our mouth, not even realizing He reads our heart. And we say, lead on, God. Just lead on. Because I'm so exhausted that I can't even get a few pennies up, much less buy bread and some fish. And the Lord says, well, there's something here. Start looking. There's something here. Something's made this journey. Some good's going to come out of this. There's something here in the midst of all this. Just look for it. Just open up your eyes and start looking. Hallelujah. My God, I'm going to tell you, friend, you may not find a whole lot, but you'll just start searching and digging around among that attic of yours. You're going to come up with some things in God that when God lays His hand on it, He's going to blow your ever-loving mind. Hallelujah. So you'll get up. I said, get up in the Holy Ghost. Start looking around for some things that have made the journey. You know, all isn't wrong and everything hadn't died. There's some things that have come along with this. And if you just start looking around, you'll start finding some things that God can touch. You know what he said, what do you got? I said, well, I tell you what we've got. We got about 5 loaves and 2 fish. And that's about all we've got. He said, okay. He said, now, in the midst of this desert, I want you to look. And I want you to find the green grass. And I want you to make everybody to sit down on that green grass. Because on that green grass, I'm going to give them a miracle. First of all, it's a shocking thing to find green grass in a desert place. That's enough to make somebody stop and say, hey, maybe he knows a little bit about what he's doing. There's some green grass. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. There was enough green grass, Brother North, to set down 5,000 men in companies of 50 and 100, not including the women and children. Don't tell me God doesn't know what He's doing with your life. I'm telling you, friend, I don't care how hot it gets. I don't care how barren it gets. When God gets through with you, He's going to stick you right in the middle of an oasis, right in the middle of that trial, and He's going to give you a place to receive a miracle. Don't tell me He can't. I'm telling you, He not only can, but He will. When you're tired enough, God takes over. When you finally say, this is all we got, then that's all God needs. He don't need anything else. All He needs is for you to come to that place saying, it's out of my hands. It's out of my hands. I've had people tell me, and when I say this, is some of you are going to think I'm just talking about you, but you just don't understand. See, a pastor don't talk. A pastor just hears it and understands that this is coming from this direction and that direction, and you're going through it, and you think when I talk like this that he's beelined in on me and I'm the only one. you just don't know. You're one of many when the switchboard lights up and things start hopping and popping. And people tell me this, said, you know what? I put it in God's hands, but I took it back out again. And that got me in trouble. My God, I hear that all the time. It's not just one or two. We're all guilty of that. We go through those things because we have a hard time trusting God. Why did He let John's head get cut off? Why did He let John the Baptist die? Should I walk with him any further in the desert? If he can't take care of his own forerunner, then my God, what am I doing following him? If he can't protect what's out in front of him, how's he going to protect what's behind him? Come on now, let's get real. That's just exactly how the devil talks to you. If he can't take care of this, how you expect him to take care of that? But you just don't understand. John the Baptist understood. He said, I must decrease that he might increase. I got to get out of the way so that he can get in the way. I got to be removed so that he can be the number one. Hallelujah. I got to get the flesh out so the spirit can reign. I can only do so much, but he can do all. Hallelujah. I baptize you with water, but he's going to baptize you with Holy Ghost and fire. I'm not done one thing. I'm not one made one lame limb to walk. But when he touches you, he's going to make you whole. Woo. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Folks, you've got to come to the place you're so exhausted until you can finally say, God, here it is. It's in your hands. Hallelujah. Folks, I'm talking about green grass in a hot desert place. And the Lord led them there. Praise God. You may be seated in Jesus' name. There are times in our life, and some of you have not lived for God long enough. But let me encourage you in this area. Don't bail out on God. Hang tight. Because I don't care how many rocks and hot sand and cacti he leads you by. When he says he's taking you somewhere to rest, you will rest. There will be rest. Now, let me mention this to you here, just kind of put this in. The Bible said there were so many needs that they outran him. He took them to a private place. But it wasn't a private place when they got there. Because there wasn't a boat that could sail. And there wasn't a horse that could ride. That there wasn't a place that Jesus could go to get beyond the perimeters of a lost and a dying world. And when you finally realize there's not a place on this planet that you're going to be able to escape to and find what you want to find in God. Because I'm telling you, it's not in the terrain. And it's not in the picturesque valleys. You're not going to find it on a lonely, solitary ranch. That's not where it is. I'm telling you, it's right in the midst of a clamoring, screaming world that Jesus turns and looks at you and says, is this what you got? Put it in my hands. Set them down in the middle of the desert. I'll lay out a green carpet of grass where there was nothing before but a hot burning sands. Oh, if I can bring this to the saints of Austin Tabernacle to tell you right in the midst of hell itself, I want you to know God can punch into the middle of the earth and bring forth living water to feed your thirsty soul, because he is the inexhaustible. He never runs out. He never runs dry. All you got to do is tap in on it. If the boss is pushing you, then find a little cubbyhole and lift your hands and say, God, I love you. I'm being pushed to the wall. I'm tired and I'm weary. And that's when God's going to take over. I said, that's when God's going to take over. You tell the boss off and you're going to tell God off. You tell your friends off and you're going to tell God off. God has to take us through the desert. You may be seated. Everybody listen up. Listen up to the Holy Ghost. Most of the time your rest will look like a test. Most of the time your rest will look like a test. But when God is through with it, you are going to be relaxing in the Spirit of the Lord. You're going to have troubles. You know what the disciples wanted to do? They told the Lord, send them away. Send them away. Just get this out of my hair. If you'll just send this away, then all will be well. And we'll sit down and eat these five loaves and two fish. And that won't hardly be able to take care of us 12 and Jesus. But we'll make it on these 5 loaves and 2 fish if you'll just get rid of all this fringe junk. Lord, if you'll just get this off of my back, you and I'll sit down with this little meager fragments here and we'll enjoy it. And I'll be refreshed. And I won't have all this stuff pulling at my mind and pulling on me. Just get rid of these bill collectors and this trouble and get me a bigger job and more money. You'll be in the same fix there that you are now. That's not the problem. If I had more money, that's not the problem. My God, it's in the midst of the desert. When you finally give it to God and you meet the power of that inexhaustible source, I'm telling you, 5 loaves and 2 fish couldn't have even taken care of Jesus and those 12 apostles. The object is not to go screaming out of the desert, raving like an idiot. There's 5,000 of them. We're surrounded. The object is to look to Jesus and watch Him as He touches those fish and begins to break it. Power in those hands. I can see the first one carry that basket full away. Oh, God. Folks, I don't want to get gross, okay? Because I don't have any food on my stomach right now. But I don't know how the Japanese do it. How they eat raw octopus is beyond me. I'm serious. I'm not kidding you. I remember we walking down the road there in San Francisco off of Pier 39, and there was one of those little cute little boys. I mean, just as sweet as he could be. And my boy was just walking down through there, just looking around, and this boy had just thrown a squid. I'm talking about uncooked, into his mouth. And all the little things was hanging out. And Trace looked around. His eyes got as big as saucers. He's just, ah, la, 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 la. And there was those tentacles just hanging out. Of that. Oh, my God, help me. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Maybe you never thought about it. But Jesus didn't feed them raw fish. Mm-mm, something was happening. He had a full cooked meal. I don't know how he did it, but he did it. When his hands touched that fish, something was happening. Because when he lays out a meal, it's something you can eat. My God, my God, my God, He knows how to prepare a 7-course meal right in the middle of the desert. Take that, devil. Hallelujah. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. He knows how to give you rest in the midst of a weary day. It ain't going to be raw, honey. It ain't going to be running with blood. Hallelujah, because they couldn't eat it that way. You couldn't eat the blood with the meat. I'm telling you, when Jesus touched it, it was kosher. It was right. It was ready. And when they touched it to their mouth, it was ready to take in. Oh, reach over and lay your hand on their shoulder again and say, meet every need. Oh, God. Oh, God. But God, I don't know if you feel what I'm feeling right now. Oh, pray for it. Something's breaking. Something's breaking. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. Come on, we're going to pray a little while. We're going to pray just a little while. Oh, we're going to pray just a little while. I'm tired. I'm exhausted. I've tried and I'm weary. It looks like my rest has turned into a test. But oh, the only one going to be tested, and that's no test at all, is Jesus. Just give it to Him. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord, oh, Lord, oh, Lord. I want you to lift your hands right now. And I want you to praise God in the Spirit. Some of you hadn't talked in tongues in a while. Don't you let the devil beat you down. You lift that head up. You lift those hands up. You worship God. Hell is down. Heaven is up. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. 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 God loves and cares for your soul. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh God. Church, before you see it, I'm going to tell you, I'll be honest. I told the Lord this morning, I said, God, what are you trying to do? I said, why are you getting me up at 4:30 in the morning? I can't take this. I got Sunday morning service. I'm so weary, I'm out of my mind. I said, please, God, I got to have sleep. But he wouldn't let me go to sleep. He got me up. I'd go pray a little while and lay down and pray and get back up. I said, God, I'm exhausted. I can't take this. I got to have some sleep. But oh, dear God, now I understand. He had to get me ready for this morning. I'd have missed it. I'd have missed it a million miles. My Lord, he had to do something to get me in the place right now, friend. You can't imagine how I'm feeling. Woo, I may need a nap this afternoon, but I'm walking right now in the joy of the Lord. Because the anointed is on you, and it's on this pulpit. And God is here to tell us, when you've gone to the end of the line, I'm ready. I'm ready. Put it in my hands and give it to me. Give the Lord a hand praise. Would you clap your hands to the Lord? Oh God. Oh God. Come on, clap your hands to the Lord. Glory to the mighty name of our God. You're going to make it. Come on, you're going to make it. God wants to give somebody the Holy Ghost today. He wants to reveal somebody. Amen, 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 amen. Praise God. Praise God. You may be seated in Jesus' name. I'm going to go just a little bit more. Oh God. Oh God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let me tell you about when God takes over. When God takes over, it's not 25% of the way. He don't heal a little bit. He heals. He don't save a little bit. He saves. He don't deliver you a little bit. He delivers you. He don't bless you with a little bit. He blesses you. You've got to understand that. Because anything less than that, the devil has gotten in there somehow, some way to shortcut what God's doing. Because I'm telling you, honey, when he starts touching the bread and the fishes, he's going to send the baskets and keep sending them until finally you stop and say, I'm about to bust. You hear me? He don't leave you wanting more. That's not God's way. If you want more, you stop. Oh, the devil got in. Because when God starts the ball rolling, I'm telling you, you're going to back off and say, hey man, I got all I can hold. You want some? Here's some. You can have it too. Dear Lord, have mercy. We ought to have so much victory when we come in the house of God that we ought to be able to pray for somebody else. We ought to have the joy of the Lord flowing in our heart that we can turn to our brother and say, here brother, you want some too? Woo! I'll take the desert if I can have this. Woo! I said, I'll take it if I can feel this. My God. My God. My God. He'll give you so much, you'll be putting some back. There'll finally come a time you'll start laying hands on others instead of always them laying hands on you. You may be seated. Matter of fact, I'm going to prophesy over some of you today. There's going to come a time because you're willing to stick it out. There's going to come a time that you're going to become a giant for God. A pillar in this church. Not me, Brother Clark. You ain't prophesying over me. I don't believe that. Hey, you know my God either. I got some young men and I got some men and women here and some young ladies. I'm telling you, friend, they're going to be pillars. And if you only knew what they were before, they were nothing but water. And I'm telling you, friend, when they got exhausted and had enough and had tried and done all they could do, when they put it in God's hands, something started happening to them. Hallelujah. Until I got people in here right now that all I ever did was pray for them. Now, my God, they're praying for everybody else. What happened to them? He keeps sending the basket, or the fish back your way until finally you're throwing something back in the basket. Brother Clark, I've never been that way in Jesus. I'm telling you, you keep worshiping, you keep fasting, you keep coming to church, and finally after a while, you're going to start putting something back in that basket. You're going to start sending it to somebody else. You're going to say, hey, ship it on back. Woo! Hallelujah! I'm feeling something. I'm feeling from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. Come on, brother, be thou blessed. Come on, brother, be thou healed. My God, until you can pray, then others can get something from God. Woo! The Bible said they were all full. The day of Pentecost, they got full. In the house, they prayed till it was shaken, and they were full. In Cornelius' house, they were all filled. We're not Baptist-costal.
Hallelujah.
We're Pentecostal. We're apostolic. You may be seated. You know what we are? We're the church of the full and running over. David said, my cup is half full. Y'all going to defy me? If I ain't preaching the truth, you better. David said, my cup is three quarters of the way full. He said, it's 99% of the way full. He said, I'll tell you what, God just had enough to bring it to the top. No, no, no. David said, the God that I know is the killer of a lion and a bear. The God that I know can take the head off a Goliath. The God that I know can put the Philistines to rout. The God that I know is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or think. According to the power that worketh in you. Reach over and get somebody with a hand and lift it toward heaven. And said, I'm sending the basket your way. Woo! I'm sending the basket your way. Here it comes, brother. Here it comes, brother. The fish is cooked. The bread is warm. Come on, you exhausted soul. He is able. Praise Him, church. Praise Him, all you saints of the Most High God. Let your soul be lifted up. Exalt the Lord. Come on, exalt the Lord.